Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word before us this morning as we continue our Family Church 2.0 message series is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 20, beginning with verse 25. This in the Pew Bible is on page 1115. Again, Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 25, Pew Bible, page 1115. Paul, the apostle, is addressing the elders or the pastors in the church at Ephesus. Probably this is going to be the last time that he ever stands before them. Now, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will or counsel of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. These are God's words before us. Let's pray. Almighty God, your word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend and righteous fruits abound. Amen. The Good Shepherd. Is there any other image that depicts better or more beautifully the relationship that you and I enjoy with our Savior, Jesus Christ? Did you know that the window at the back of the church was designed back in the mid to late 70s to remind every one of us every time we walk out of church and look up there that we have a good shepherd in whose hands, in whose arms we are completely safe and secure? How many of us haven't derived great comfort at the loss of a loved one, whether it's a dad, a mom, a child, a spouse, a sibling, in the words of Psalm 23, often called the Shepherd's Psalm. The prophet Isaiah, writing some 700 years or so before Jesus ever stepped foot on this earth, looked ahead and said this of the Messiah: he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Sheep. And especially lambs are very cutesy creatures, aren't they? After a lamb has been shorn of its fur, it's very soft and smooth to the touch, and it's a delight to touch. The picture of a lamb is not one that pictures or portrays strength and resolve, is it? It's one that pictures tenderness and weakness. I don't know of any professional sports team across the sports field that has the lamb as its mascot. If it did, its fans would have to cheer this. We are the sheep. We don't make a peep. Victory is yours to keep, but count on us if you want to sleep. If that doesn't make you tremble in your shoes, what will? Why then would God use an animal as defenseless and weak as a sheep to represent us? It really shouldn't surprise us. That's what God does. Often in God's word, he uses characteristics of an animal to portray the attributes of a human being or some other character. He uses the cunning of a snake, for example, to picture Satan in all his deceit. He uses a ferocious lion to portray Satan as he roams around the earth looking for souls to devour. God uses horses to depict warriors in battle, and he uses donkeys to picture messengers of peace. So where do sheep fit in? And how do they represent us? Just as a sheep is not the most intelligent of animals and cannot find or smell its way back to the sheep pen, so are you and I naturally dumb and defenseless when it comes to spiritual things. Let me tell you a story. In my first congregation, a man named Tom worked for Senex and often made deliveries to the farms in the fields outside the Twin Cities. And he told me that one day he got to a particular farm, and here was a small flock of sheep heading out to pasture, and it had to get past a 10 to 12 foot length of cyclone fence to do so. All but one of those sheep got around the fence and started to walk away, except for one, a little lamb. He got stuck behind the fence. He could see the others. I'm sure he could smell the others. He could hear the others. But that little lamb, bah, 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 kept bashing his nose up against the cyclone fence. It was bleeding. What a stupid creature is a sheep. So also are we. Naturally, when it comes to spiritual things. And I wonder sometimes if we are more stupid than a sheep. You heard Jesus say that a sheep will always follow its master's voice. Do we? Are there times when we won't, when we don't? Today we're going to look at the family church and consider how God wants us, regardless of our station in life, to serve as shepherds to the sheep under our care. We want especially to ensure that our family is a safe place where faith in Jesus is fed and living for Jesus is encouraged. In our text, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the elders or pastors of the church in Ephesus. He knows that this is probably the last time he's going to see them because he says, "Now I know that none of you will ever see me again." Soon Paul would be arrested, put on trial before the authorities, and ultimately executed for his faith. Now Paul maintains that because he has been faithful in proclaiming the whole counsel or will of God, his pastoral obligation to these folks in Ephesus has been fulfilled. He leaves the results of his work to the Holy Spirit and the continuation of his work to the elders or pastors of the congregation. He begins by reminding them to take care of each other. This is what he says: "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." And Paul said this with purpose. This is how he goes on: "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." What Paul is saying here is that even though we pastors have been given the oversight of the congregation, ultimately the flock is responsible for the flock. That means that each of you is to be a pastor or a shepherd in your own area of influence. Yes, Paul is addressing the pastors of the church, to be sure, but every single one of us is a pastor or shepherd in our own area of influence. In the context of our current Family Church 2.0 worship series, we're applying this to what we're calling the family church. The challenge before every single one of us when it comes to those sheep in our care is to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I am innocent of the blood of any of you. Back in my first church, I wasn't there very long, and in a Bible class, a woman asked if it bothered me that I had this congregation of 200 or so souls in my care. And I answered very flippantly, I haven't lost any sleep over it yet. How quickly that changed. As I got to know those folks up in the Twin Cities and their needs and their struggles, I would find that when I was driving to hospitals or somewhere else, that I was running through the alphabet saying prayers for the members, the Apitzes, the Blazicks, the Campbells, the Dulkies. And now I do that here. It takes a lot longer, obviously. But that's what a shepherd does. A shepherd understands that there are souls in his care, and he needs to be concerned about them. Did you note that three different times in this text, Paul makes the direct relationship of sheep and shepherd plain? Now, last month when Mr. Fitzsimmons opened our school year with an opening devotion, he said something that I never thought about before. He said that when the Holy Spirit repeats something in a section of Scripture, he wants us to sit up and take notice. And so three times here, the Holy Spirit tells us that there is this unique relationship between shepherd and sheep, which helps me appreciate the unique relationship that all of us as sheep have with our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. In his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip Keller writes that sheep need four things in order to feel comfortable and lie down. And these are the four. Number one, sheep must be nourished because hungry sheep look for food. Number two, sheep must be unafraid because fearful sheep are skittish. Number three, sheep must be content because aggravated sheep won't relax. And number four, sheep must have unity because sheep won't lie down where there is friction with others of their kind. We live in a spiritually dangerous and unsafe world where sheep are afraid to lie down. We live as sheep among wolves. None of us can live on an island, nor has God created us to be an island. We've been created for fellowship, for church, for family church. And it's here that God has called on us to provide a safe haven for others. It's here that Jesus says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." And then he goes on to provide shepherds to watch over us and sheep to walk along with us. As Paul reminds us in this text, God has positioned us to be shepherds, to feed the families in our care, and to keep them close to him. And while in the congregation, we pastors serve as your shepherds, in each family church, the head of the household serves as that shepherd or pastor. But no matter what the family church looks like, the shepherd always has what I'm calling a place, an acronym that stands for protect, lead, admonish, care for, and equip. The shepherd protects. Speaking of himself, Jesus says in our gospel today, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Did you know that in the Holy Land, a shepherd will herd his flock into the sheep pen at night and then lie down across the doorway? Then in the morning, he gets up and lets all the sheep go out to pasture. Do you know why he does that? To keep the roaming packs of predators out. If a predator wants to get into the sheep pen, it has to get through the shepherd. The shepherd protects his sheep by risking his life for them. Now I want you to picture Jesus as he says to you, I am the gate. Jesus didn't just risk. Jesus gave his life for you. Like a ravenous wolf, the devil wanted nothing more than to gobble you up and gulp you down. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, God says in his word. But Jesus battled and beat the devil for you. Jesus laid down his life for you so that now God can assure you there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In much the same way, we pastors, we shepherds, protect our families and keep them safe. As Paul says, we guard ourselves first, then we do the same for our sheep. We're on the watch for false wolves, the wolves of false doctrine and materialism and substance abuse and isolation and depression, all agents of Satan to make people easy prey. Shepherds protect their sheep. And we lead. As I mentioned earlier, sheep are not the most intelligent of animals. They are instinctively stupid and need leadership. We shepherds are sheep too. And so we're instinctively stupid. But we've been called to lead. We lead by our words, especially the words of our God as we share them with and teach them to our children. We lead by our works, our actions, as we model what we believe and teach. That's a scary prospect. But we always do so with the strength that God provides. As Paul once said to the Corinthians, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. And what's so comforting is every time we fail, and how many times don't we fail, we go back to the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We fall before him with folded hands and we say, forgive me, Lord Jesus. And he does. He already has. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from every sin. In love, God continually calls us back to him, confessing our sins, trusting Jesus for forgiveness, and asking for his help to overcome and do even better in the future. It's in this way that shepherds lead. And we admonish. To admonish literally means to place in the mind. It means lovingly to warn someone of the consequences of sin. Sometimes we call that tough love. We have to say to a family member, if you persist in this sinful behavior, there will be consequences. Paul puts it this way. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. But when we, as the shepherds of our sheep, lovingly admonish them, we're serving as God's conduits, God's pipelines to bring his blessings to them. Shepherds admonish their sheep. And we care for our families. Referring especially to the overseers of the congregation, but not excluding the pastors of the family church, the Apostle Peter says, be shepherds of God's flock. That means that regardless of what our family church looks like, we care for the sheep in our care. We pray for those who are fearful and needy and struggling and weak. We support them physically, emotionally, and above all, spiritually. Train children in the way they should go, God says, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. On the day of my ordination, In July of 1982, my dad, a retired pastor, pulled me aside to give me the dad-to-son talk, and I was expecting a long time. And Dad said three things. David, know your Bible, love your people, and be yourself. Fellow shepherds, know your Bible, be yourself, and love your sheep. Love them to death. And finally, shepherds equip their sheep. We know from what Scripture says that the fields are white for harvest, and that ultimately only sheep can produce sheep. What that means for us is that we have the opportunity to train the sheep in our care for ministry, for service, whether it be to the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, or to others who are in our area of influence. That's why I just love the Rocks Fund idea. We can put money aside to give legs and feet and arms and hands to the love that we have for people. Many of you know that for about a week, my daughter and I were in Hawaii for a member's wedding, and I was just struck by all the homeless people on the streets of Honolulu. And Maddie and I talked on the way home that had we known ahead what we were going to see, we would have taken along 50 to 100 single dollar bills and just to every homeless person given one of them. Who knows what they would have done with them? One man had a sign that said, "I'm not lying, it's for beer." Another said, "It's for weed." But the majority looked like genuine homeless people. And had we taken 100 single dollar bills to Hawaii, we would have come home with none of them. What ways can we find to put legs and feet and arms and hands on our concern for others? Shepherds equip their sheep. My friends, whether we're pastors of a big congregation like St. Paul's or pastors of our family churches, we're all shepherds of God's flock. May God encourage us today to do all we can to shepherd the flock in our care, to make it a safe place where Jesus is proclaimed and living for him is encouraged. Jesus once said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. This is my command, love one another."